get you Raymond Wise and bugger body about to get you right. They've been telling the truth and they're setting the vibe. You can get into it too if you like and subscribe.
He watches me. That's a terrible way, because we were like, what in the world are we walking into? We're walking into Black Inquiry. Hey, friends. What's up? What's up? How y'all doing?
Doing good. Doing good. It's a really good week.
Yes.
Yeah. I, you know, last week tried to take me out, but this week.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this week I've had a little Cowboy Carter to get me through, so I've been doing just fine.
Ooh, I knew I should have wore a hat today. I knew I should have wore it. It's okay. We got plenty. We got time.
You got a hat?
Ooh, I'm going to get one.
Oh, you're going to have to put it over the headphones.
Not over these.
Over these eggs.
Not these eggshells. The what, y'all, okay, so they clown me before we got onto this because the headphones I normally use are acting a fool today. I did get them from, like, the Five Below store, so that's probably why. Maybe Five Below is really trying to say, like, it's been 5 years, let's let it go. But these particular headphones.
You only get $1 per year.
That's what it's giving, okay? And then these headphones I have, these are, like, ancient, but they're actually, like, good headphones. They're just old. Like, they're like from when stereos first came out. Like, this is when I'm kidding. They're bad. Anyway, I think it's retro. This is cute. We have to send like a screenshot.
I told you it looks very Y2K.
It's very,
I love a good Y2K aesthetic.
It's very retro, and I'm here for it. Like, you know, whatever. I'm out. What's up? You know, like we said.
Period. Very Eggland's best.
Wow. Do you remember those little robot dogs they used to make?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was like silver.
Yes.
It looks like something from that era.
Ain't that crazy that we was really like, we was like, ooh, robot. Like, we was really impressed with those things.
We're still doing it. Sony makes one now. It's like, I think maybe almost $2,000. Maybe it's not $2,000, but it's very expensive. Mm-mm. But they look cute.
After seeing iRobot, I don't know if I want one. I think I'm good on like that.
I, for one, welcome our robotic overlords.
Oh, okay. Okay, but all right. Listen, y'all, see, you sound like them people, like my partner talking about some want a house that everything is automated through the house. I don't want none of that. No, I don't want.
You saw when they tried to do that electric police dog, that like robot police dog in New York, and it was racist.
I bet it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about a police dog. See, I'm talking about a Sony good. Toy.
We already said the German Shepherds can't say nigga. They can't say it. And y'all gonna give a robot dog, you know that thing can't say it either. That's crazy.
Who programmed it?
I mean, well, who we think on programming, girl?
The same person.
I believe
who did
in
the
black
dog.
People in STEM.
Okay, there are black people in STEM. However,
make it happen.
I don't think they're the ones that's going to be programming these dogs. I could tell you that. They're going to be the ones they might test them on. Shoot, like that's what it gives. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Oh,
no parts. But yeah, okay. Well, this week has been good for me. I just got back from vacation. So today was real chill and light, and I'm grateful. Ain't nobody really bothered me today. Because, you know, usually when you come back from vacation, everybody want to be in your inbox. How you okay? What you do? Girl, leave me alone. And y'all know how I am. When I get back from vacation, I need a good week.
2 days.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at minimum, like, especially for, like, with friends and stuff, usually it's a 2 day. It's like, okay, I need y'all to, like, give me a little breathing space. But y'all gave that to me already, so I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. But today was light, so it's been a good week so far. So ain't too much going on, you know, just out here living life. It's raining here, though. That's I definitely was tired today because this rain is wearing me out. Do y'all get sleepy for like, do y'all be like really sleepy when it rains? Or y'all be like, ooh, like I just want to look and watch?
No, I get horny. Oh. I think it's sexy. Put on some Janet Jackson, light some candles, get in a satin robe. What are you talking about?
Not the rain is... Is it because you be thinking of them old, like those old, like music videos where it's like the steam from the
yes.
Oh my god!
It's telling you every time. I'm like, okay, I need to play a Janet Jackson, Anita Baker. Like, I need to like really get into my like,
what?
You know, my soft girl era.
I be trying to sleep.
Come home, it's like, hey,
I legit.
We can do that too.
I lay up on the couch and go to bed when
I be trying to sleep. Like when it rains, I be like, nah, I'm good on it. Like this is time for me to like stock up on sleep. Is what it gives because I don't be wanting to do nothing. And you don't want to go nowhere. Mm-mm. I don't be going to go nowhere. I be like, I ain't going outside. Like,
a good storm. Telling
now
you.
What I now what I will say is I do think that
oh you're back right out.
I will say I have had some good times when it was raining. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I will give you that. I will give you that. But it's not like an instant like, oh, it's raining. I'm ready to. It's not been that. But they I done got a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. I would take.
Listen,
it becomes like cap off. Maybe, it's like every time I hit the rain, I'm just like, oh.
Maybe when it rains, it pours. Okay, huh? Okay.
Yes, it do. Yes, it do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the wrong edition of this episode today. Okay. Well, I guess just to check in, because I don't know if we did it last time. As like far as like numbers, how's everybody seem like everybody's doing really good. But like, what's y'all numbers this week? Like, was there anything like this week that was like specifically like yes, like this made my week? I already know what y'all. You know what? I don't even want to ask that because I already know what the answer is.
Like, why are you playing in my face right now?
just let me get your numbers then, because I already know both answers, so it ain't no point.
10.
Randy, what's your number?
I would say a 9.
Okay. Yes, I would say it's given an 8.76. Like we're right there at the top. So yeah, I'll take it. Okay. Well, it sounds like I think because from this rain conversation, it sounds like we're ready to get into some of our conversations today. So as you know, everybody, this is Black Inquiry. I'm Raymond Wise.
I'm Bo the Baddie.
And I'm Randy Nigel.
And welcome to the group chat.
In every relationship we form, we usually have our own private checklist of things we look for. Do they communicate well? Or how are they with family and friends? And if we're honest, there's usually a deep dive into a social media account or two. The point is, we know what we're looking for. On the other side of the same coin, we also know what we don't want. We all have our icks. An ick is a term commonly used to describe a feeling of disgust or aversion towards someone or something they do. Chewing with your mouth open? Ick. Flaring your nostrils in pictures? Ick. Saying a joke a second time because you thought no one heard you the first time? You get the idea. Attraction is a funny thing. But if we're being honest, some of us are also attracted to toxic traits. You know, the things that shouldn't turn us on. But they do. Maybe they're possessive or confrontational or a tad too much of a flirt. Whatever it is, we're not here to yuck your yum. Quite the opposite. This episode is all about the traits that we can't deny and the traits that'll have us fleeing the scene. This week's topic is toxic turn-ons and icks. Let's talk about it.
Let's get into it. This is about to be real messy. I ain't even gonna hold. This is gonna be messy. This is about to be messy.
Ooh, Lord. Okay.
Also, I just want to go on the record right now. If I know you in real life and I name an ick that you feel hit by, I likely am not thinking about you. Let's go ahead and say that right now. Not thinking about you, but also I apologize for any hurt feelings. I do love you as a person.
Yes, disclaimer.
Just in case. I'm just covering my bases. Because yes, disclaimer. The girls be listening and they be texting me and being like, you said, da, 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 da. I'm like, no, see, I wasn't even fucking talking about you.
Listen,
quite the opposite from over here. If you hear ick and no. You feel hit, please fix it. Fix it around me.
Not fix it around me.
Randy said,
for real.
Her dog will bark and holler. Listen, y'all both trying to be, oh, well, you know, it's not about you. No, girl, it probably is. And it's,
no,
and,
It is. You, it's listen, about you and everybody else.
A herd dog will holler. So if my inbox get flooded this week, it's because you hurting. And that's your fault. That's your
fault. Our listener's about to drop off.
No, what they know, they're not gonna drop off. They're gonna listen because they wanna listen for their name and make sure they we ain't gonna call no names. I hope not. Because
I really don't have anyone specifically in mind.
That's fair.
Like, genuinely. Well, I know some people who do these things, but it's not like I'm thinking about them. But I'm like, this is like a popular thing.
Which I think is actually kind of the case, right? Because if it's an ick, it's not like one specific person has done it and that's the only person that's bothered you that done it. It's because usually when it's an ick, it's not specifically tied to a person, right? It's tied to like the actual action or what it is. So I get that. Because it could be people that, you know, you could have dated multiple people in, or either like entertain people. And you realize because they had that ick that like you were like, oh, this is not something that I like in general. So that is fair. But I will say that there probably are people that are in top of mind for me that I'd be like, yeah, you was the one that reminded me that I don't like that. But that's fair. yeah, that's okay. Well, go on, Bo, because you was ready. Let's what's what it is. Disclaimers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going straight into icks that we have.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I'll start us off. This is a very simple one. And maybe it's because I don't understand the purpose of this trend, fad, whatever you want to call it. But I really cannot stand to see the chalk line that niggas be having on the edge up when they go get their hair cut. Like, what is that? Like, I'd be wanting to lick my thumb and wipe it off. Like, why? Why do we need to see where your barber had to do geometry to get your shit to look straight? Because that's feel like that has to be what it is.
You know what? I mean, I understand the reason why they do it, but I also think that it does look, it looks weird. It looks funny. It looks like, but I understand because in order for them, obviously they use it for guide, but then also it does, it's just like, it's basically like contour and highlight. So that's essentially the reason why it's there. However, it should be like with
where is the contour?
But listen with like highlight
blended.
Exactly. You have to blend it. So like technically I've seen people get it done and they've like kind of like lightly blended it in so that it still is defined. But it kind of goes into my ick where I hate when guys get their beard overly enhanced, like with the spray or like Beijing. When I tell you the Beijing thing wears me out. And it's not as popular now.
It's called Beijing, like the country?
Yes, girl.
Or is that a city?
No,
there is no war in... Oh, that's what I seen saying. Never mind.
No, it's literally called... So this is like... Now, this was like early 2000s where this like everybody, all the guys were doing it. Now, it's done a little bit better because it's like airbrushed and you can get it kind of like sprayed in a little bit differently. But girl, some guys still do it and it be heavy. And I'd be like, sir, we know we know that you ain't got no hair and that's just...
And you can see it. And I'd be scared to hug somebody with that in their beard because I wear nice clothes and I'd be afraid that it's going to transfer because makeup transfers.
Let me be honest though, because it has been a couple of times that I try to color my beard and I didn't transfer it. So I'm sorry to anybody that I'm about to transfer I was
Raymond, don't be hugging me if you know you got fresh beard Beijing dripping from your
eyebrows everywhere.
And you know Randy got this beige pale furniture.
Okay, I can't even come to
you can stand up over
there. Okay, I'm standing put baby in the corner is what's going to happen. I'm standing in the corner eating my plate of fish fries that Brandy made because...
Because you want the Beijing, your beard.
Okay. No, don't get me wrong, because I do get enhancements, but I think there's a way that it should be done to where it looks still natural and clean. But when you get it to the point where it's like you literally took like a block of like crayons and like melted them on your head, that's not cute. It don't look good anymore. And I hate that. It bothers me.
And it's like, I feel like certain things in beauty are supposed to be optical illusions.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all are just blowing past the illusion part. Like if you pick a white, like chalk white to do your hairline in and you are Ebony 700 in makeup.
Ebony,
you need to cut it out.
What is Ebony 700?
I want to know what that is.
No.
But I've
it's just it's just so Randy, wild to me.
And go to the timeout. Yeah,
and like go like but yes, to your point, like it does, it is like really, really strange for it to be there. So I'm just like, so I get that. Cause I remember I had a barber do that one time where he was like, oh, like you want me to do the white chalk outline? And I tried it once, but then I was like, this looks crazy. It looks like, it makes me think of like being ashy. Like that's what it makes you think of. It's like, oh, so I'm ashy and like y'all can see my ashy outline. That's what it's given. It's very, very strange, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we live, we learn, we grow. But yes, I agree with you, Bo. Like no more of the, please, let's leave it in 2001 with the white chalk outline. It's not it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Randy, by the way, y'all, I told Randy this. I said, Randy, I know you got a lot of icks. I said, I know you do because I know my friend and I can't wait. I can't wait.
I do. I have like a whole poster board of icks, y'all, and I'm not going to get through all of them today because we don't have enough hours on the podcast. So I'm going to try to hit some of the main points. But I'm going to start with people who overstate their straight, like their straightness. Ooh. So like men who have queer friends who feel a need to constantly bring up the fact that they are straight. Because by virtue of they are around a queer person, it is supposed to, I guess, make them more gay. So they feel a need to constantly just keep re-upping on, well, I'm straight. I know I'm here with the gays, but I'm straight.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of straight male friends and coworkers, and I've just seen a lot of them do this, and it is just so, it's just disgusting to me. Because why do you feel a need? Like you need to justify your participation in one of my friend groups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would get annoying. And also just like, I don't know, I feel like I've always been the type of person where what's known doesn't have to be said. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, y'all know what it is. Yeah, that's...
But what is...
What?
Because I don't know. I feel like nothing.
No, nothing. Come on.
Go ahead, Bo.
You'd be like, oh, you know, what's already known don't need to be said. Like, what's understood don't need to be said. But like, what if I don't understand? Now I feel like I can't say I don't understand because I don't.
This is my thing. I get it. Like, if this is like your first time being in this community of people, right? Sure. Being like, mm-hmm. oh, like if somebody says, oh, like, you know, who, like, are you interested? Or, and then you can, you know, of course be like, yeah. Oh no. Like, no, I'm straight. Like, yeah. And leave it at that. But when mm-hmm. you constantly in the midst of the conversation to the same group of people have to consistently say it, which I have seen this. I have friends who have done this.
I know what you mean.
I'm like, girl, like I invited you here and I've already told everybody that you're straight. Like you don't need to repeat it 12 times. Like they know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also
that's a red flag for me. I'd be like, it's getting homophobic.
Listen. Well, it's not even, no, I don't even think that it's homophobic. I think a lot of times it's insecurity. That's what it, to me, that's what I take
about
it
about being straight?
I think it's insecure. No. I don't think it's them being insecure about being straight. I think it's insecure about the fact that they might be queer. And in order to justify them being in this space, they continuously say,
girl.
No, you don't think so?
See, interesting.
I
actually think it's because people see queer people as like hypersexed. So when they go into spaces, they feel like all queer people are after them because they are the token straight in the room. So they feel a need to like, let me constantly say I'm straight so that y'all aren't hitting on me. Because even the least attractive straight person still thinks that they are cute in a room full of gays.
They do.
And,
and they swear that somebody wants them. It'd be like, girl, look around. You not see the dolls here? Like no one.
Don't want you. Like you could be the last penis on earth, and I promise you, I still baby celibate over here. What? Stop. No, I think it can be a mix of both. I do think that is a thing. I do think because in the gay community, we're hypersexualized. People think that they perceive us as hypersexualized. So I can get that. But I also do think that sometimes guys that like are friends say that as well because they. Sometimes, at least my experience, I've seen where they're trying to like, they're really trying to like figure out their identity. And in order for them to really get to a place where they can do that, they'll just continue to say they're straight. And I'm like, live your best life. Now, is that helpful?
Probably. So they're overcompensating for the fact that they're
curious.
Very
much that. Very much that.
Yeah.
Which is equally bad.
That's an ick.
It's an ick too. It's an ick too. It really is an ick.
I got to add that to the list.
No, it's definitely an ick. So fair enough.
So
go ahead, Randy.
Oh, I was going to say, I have another one that is like right next to this. So I was like, let me just go ahead and knock out two. People who assume that queer people are just like sex crazed. I don't know how many like straight, like strictly straight friends you have, but I have some straight female like friends and associates. And they're like, ooh, what about him? Ooh, this, this, this. And it's like, they're just so curious about one particular aspect of my identity, which is who I'm like sexually interested in.
Yeah.
And they don't like, they aren't as invested in anything else. Like if I tell a story about my day or my job, they're not like checked in on that. But then the minute we get around a man or we walk past the gym and somebody walks out shirtless, they're like, oh, you're gay. Like, give your opinion. I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
I understand. I do understand that. It's not necessarily an ick for me because I've not had to deal with it as much, but it's definitely, yeah, it's disturbing because it's like, girl, or it's like, ooh, girl. And then sometimes it's like, ooh, they trying to like get into the like the vernacular and be like, ooh, like, would you? And it's like, ugh. It's like, please, like, can we talk about, like, there's other things you can talk about. Like, why do you, ooh, well, do you think he got a big, like, stuff like that. And I'll just be like, why are you so invested in what I'm doing over here with me and mine? I think it's even funnier when it's like straight guys. Cause again, it's that thing of like, oh, what about him? Would you do that with him? And it's like, what? Like, why are you asking these questions? It's very strange.
I love that y'all's like icks are like a lot more like not serious.
No, that's...
I don't want to say that.
No, those are Randy's serious ones. Those are the serious ones for Randy. I don't think mine are like that deep. Like, one of mine is, and this sounds weird, but I hate tidy whities. Hate them. Hate them.
Yes. The little panty shaped brief.
Hate.
Where it's cut like a Speedo. Oh.
Wait, really?
I hate tidy. Hate tidy whities. Like, I.
Period. Same.
I think it depends on who's wearing them.
No. Mm-mm. First and foremost, I have this thing about like white clothing in general. And it's funny because I wore some white socks the other day and I wore them to be funny to my partner because he knows. He knows how much I hate stuff. But anyway, and then I was embarrassed because I had to go somewhere and take my shoes off. And I was like, oh, these socks are gross. It was a bad idea. Anyway, I just have this thing about like white drawers, white clothing, white socks. Like, I'll wear white socks if it goes with the outfit, but I'm not just out here like, let me wear white socks for like fun. No, ew. Same. I hate them because I'm clumsy and sometimes I'm a little messy. And I'm like, I can't trust me to be wearing it. I can't, like, even, like, going to Randy's house with that white carpet, girl, I'd be like, girl, I don't even want to step on none of this, girl.
Oh, my God.
That carpet is not white.
Okay, it's clean. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, but honestly, like, whitey tidies, it's a no for me. Like, it makes, and, you know, some of it has to do with.
Really?
I think some of it has to do with, so growing up, my dad, sorry, Dad, my dad used to wear them.
Yo.
And I think that's why I'm like, ew, like, no.
Pause.
I am dead serious. Dad, I am so sorry that I just blasted you all on this thing. But he did. And I have trauma.
Not your aversion to tidy whities is daddy issues.
Ain't that crazy? But aren't all of our aversions to deal with daddy or mommy issues? Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. All of our things that we don't like are somehow connected to our parents. Because for real. But I think that's my... But that's just always been
I don't know. My daddy ain't had no chalk line across his forehead. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't like. And then also when I would watch movies and like the little boys, in general, like when people would wear them, it's just always they look dirty and dingy and nasty. And I just, no. So tidy whities are enough for me. I will literally like be turned off and be like, no, we're good.
I don't know. I feel like if I saw like Winston Duke do an ad for Calvin Klein and it was tidy whities, I'd fold.
And maybe it's the fact of them just being white. Like, I feel like if I saw Winston Duke wearing like maroon ones or camel color, like, sure. But if they're like the tidy whities, it's nasty. I don't like it. I don't like it. So that's mine is a little unserious. But you sound like you had some deep ones. What's the deep one? I'm scared now.
No, I didn't have any. All of mine are very unserious. Okay. Like, I hate when, like, you ever see somebody eat and they be stirring their food, and it's something that doesn't need to be stirred. And they just it's like before each bite, they gotta like mix it, and they be hitting the plate. I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up! I'm like, why are you over there giving me stomp from your plate? Like, stop. I don't know. I don't like it. And for some reason, it reminds me of like an institution or like jail or something. I'm like, why are you doing this? My toes curl literally every time I see it.
I'm weak. I am weak.
I can see that. I can see that because I also hate when people put the silverware in stuff and make it like slosh on purpose.
What you mean?
Wait, what?
Like, not too long ago, I made some greens and I had a couple people over, and one of the people was like, quick, 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 like constantly. And I'm like, okay, now the greens are seasoned thoroughly. Yeah, you don't need to do that. You don't need to, like, they were kind of what Bo was doing and stirring it. And it's just like, you don't need to stir the greens. It's nothing on top. It's not like
unless you crumble up your cornbread to like sop up the green juice, the pot liquor. Yeah. Then in that case, that warrants stirring, because I want like a little piece of like the cornbread crumbles in the pot liquor. That's different. That makes sense.
That was not what was going on.
Oh no.
I don't know. Y'all, I'm starting to think that I have this thing against like undergarments, because my other one is wearing boxers. I don't like them.
Really? What about boxers?
No, what draws do you like?
None. Free balling. I'm kidding.
Not balling.
Free balling. I don't know. I just think that boxers, because I don't know. It's just like, I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't. So if it's like boxer briefs, fine. If it's like, if it's like the biker short boxers, sure. Like, there, I just don't. It's just something about like the fact that like there's nothing like holding things down, and then tidy whities is too much held down. I don't like it. I need something in between.
You know those boxers that are like, they're usually in a darker shade of primary colors, and they're like plaid.
Yes,
and they have like the gray.
Hate them. Hate
beautiful
them.
Oh boy.
Hate them.
Listen,
you
can get them from like Walmart.
No.
Every single time I've seen somebody in them, I've been like, okay. Hey.
No, and I don't know if it has to do with like, I don't know. This one does not have to do with my dad. But like, I don't know. And maybe it's because I don't like to wear them, and maybe that's why I have the aversion to them. But I don't like to see, like, I wouldn't want to see my guy in like boxers. Like, if they wear them, that's your business. But just know, like, I'm not going to be turned on by it. I'm going to be like,
it makes it accessible.
Baby, I'm not worried about accessibility over here. We're good. We're good on that.
Okay, we never take that sound clip out of context.
Oh my God.
Write that down to take out of the thing. But no, I don't like it. I don't like it. So yeah, okay, those are, I mean, I have other ones, but that was one of the ones I also. Okay, let me go to.
One of mine is kind of problematic.
You said none of yours are, or all of yours are?
One of mine is kind of problematic.
Go on.
And it's not so much the initial. You ever be like, I don't like when someone, this is going to sound bad. If we are together or like we're on a date or we're doing something and your card declines, don't keep trying it.
I feel
if
this.
I tell you I got it, don't worry about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't need the stage production of, oh no, let me call my bank. I'm not sitting. No.
Yeah.
Call your bank on your own fucking time. Like, if I say, don't worry about it, it's cool, I got it. Like, you can Venmo me, whatever. It's not a big deal. But it's whenever like they just get worked up and they're just like insisting. Well, no. And then I hate when they try this one. Now I think you're a scammer. Because why do you have multiple different cards to try and you don't know which one your money is on?
I feel that. Like that. I have agreed with almost all of these, minus Raymond's one about the boxers. I'm all in on everyone that has been mentioned so far. So wait, every single one is on my list.
You don't like tidy whities, right? That's, you're not.
No, I also, we don't have like any white underwear or white socks or white tank tops. They're like all colors.
I give up. I'll pass the white tank tops. That one I can deal with. It's the, yeah. Okay, I do have I have another one, and this one is interesting, but for me, I don't like to be called honey or sugar. I don't. Nope. Nope.
And no.
Okay.
No.
Honey and sugar.
By my, especially if it's like by my partner.
I call you Pookie sometimes.
You said what?
I call you Pookie sometimes.
But you're my friend. Like, if this is my, like, intimate partner, I don't like to be like, hey, honey, or like, hey, sugar.
And it's just those two specifically, yes, or is it all pet
those
names?
Two specifically. It is a no for me. It just turns me off.
So the ick is basically like pet names that sound like they could be said by like an auntie, yes, that's in her late 50s, yes, or 60s.
I don't like it. I don't like it. If it sounds like something that my aunt Bartholomew or whatever, you know, some aunt something like,
yeah,
that, it's going to turn me off. And to be fair, like, I call my friends, like, I'm like, oh, okay, how you doing, sweetie? Like, I say stuff like that, but it's, yeah, never like, I would never call like my partner like sweetie or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just,
yeah,
it just, yeah, that's an ick for me. I'm just like,
that would be like if I walked in and was like, hey, Cookie, to Miles. It's just a weird,
no.
No, because I think about, what's that movie with Cuban Gooding Jr.? And he's like, Cookie. You know, that's immediately what I thought of. I don't like Cookie as a pet name at all.
I don't. And I think it's because also like in most relationships, like we usually like say just like babe or like, you know what I'm saying? So like all the, like, I don't know, the honey and sugar, that one just kind of, that one definitely wears me out. Like, it will be a chop. It will, yeah, be a chop. I just,
I feel that. Mm-mm.
And I had to think if it had anything to, and I will say, I think I had to think of like, is this have anything to do with like feminism? Like, if that's like an underlying issue that I have with it. But the thing about it is like, I'm into feminine guys. That doesn't bother me. So it's just like, it has to be just the vernacular behind it that just gives me the like auntie vibe. Yeah. I'm just like,
it's too close to home. It's, yeah, like, this is not what I want to be intimate with. Yeah. This is like,
mm-mm. Oh yeah. Ugh. Oh, sugar. Oh, no, please don't. Please don't.
I do think sometimes like icks can be like rooted in isms, phobias, things like that. Like, for example, agreed, one of mine is, and I mostly admittedly get this from white men,
yep,
but whenever anyone tries to explain like that they are attracted to me, I hate when they hit it with a, I just can't explain. There's just something about you that I'm drawn to. What the fuck can't you explain? I got titties, I got ass, I got hair, my face card does not decline. So what is it? Is it because I'm black? I need you to find it quickly.
You have 2 seconds to respond.
Literally. Like, that instant turn off. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is about you. Figure it out, bitch.
Because
I can name several.
I hear that. It's just something about you. And it's like, yeah, there's something about everybody. The hell? What you mean?
Literally.
Something about the name. I mean, come on. What you mean? Stop playing with me. Like, give me a, like, no, what's the reason? Okay.
Raymond, you are in rare form. What? This vacation. What is going on?
No, it's because he got up. He got up yesterday. That's why. And now I'm
like, oh, Jesus. GC. Okay. Oh,
I thought we were going somewhere else with that too, but no. My religious mind was not working.
What do you all think of me? What do y'all think of me?
It's not what we think of you, it's that we know you and we love you, but we know you.
So I have another one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People who like feign brokenness, but then they always have like a budget to like participate in vices. So, like, the friend that's like, oh, I don't got enough money to do that. I don't got enough money to do that. But then every time you see them, they got a vape pen or they are going to the weed store or they are going to, like, ooh, get in or do something. But then they don't have the budget to do any. Ooh, it, yeah, irks me. Ooh. I had an associate not too long ago reach out to my partner and I to borrow money. And it was like, but you constantly have money to do all of this other,
right,
stuff. Like, you just went and spent like $200 on like weed and you told us about it.
Yeah.
And then you messaged us and said, hey, look, can I get some da 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 da? No, you just went and spent your money. So I'm supposed to go use my money that I went and worked for, mm-hmm, to, mm-hmm, help you out. When you went and spent your money on some non-essential shit.
I mean,
yeah. No, I get that. I deeply get that. I go through this sometimes with people in my friend group because y'all know, like, I'm a concert girly, yeah, and mm-hmm, it really just be me and my bestie, like Jay. Like, we'll like, right, go out and we concert hop. That's what we do. Like, anytime, right, someone else is a tour, likely one of us or both of us are texting at the same time, like, okay, are we getting these tickets? Like, what's good? Right. but we, like, sometimes, like, I'll open it up, or, like, if Jade is busy or something, I'll be like, hey, like, do y'all want to go to this concert? And I'm like, oh, no, I ain't got the funds. And then I look up, and it's like, you just went and got you a grill or a chain, or you at the club ordering Casamigos bottle service. And I'm like,
not top shelf. You better get that house.
And then they're complaining about not being able to do stuff. They're like, oh, well, I wanted to go to that, but I ain't have it. Yeah, because you paid like $200-something for a bottle service at the club when you could have spent $200 to go see insert artists here.
Yeah.
I mean, not that, I mean, to be fair. Anyway, but you get the idea.
Yeah. No, I've not had as much experience with that, because I guess I just typically be like, girl, you better figure it out on your own, girl. I don't know what you want to do, what you want me to do, friend. Like, that would probably bother me, especially if you asking me for money, or you're like, oh, like, I can't do this. And I've had friends do that. I have seen this where, to your point, Randy, like, having a friend who's like, oh, well, I don't feel like doing, I can't do this, can't do that. And then they buy all this weed. And I'm like, I'm confused. But then I'm like, you know what? If that's what brings you joy and you rather spend all your money on that, say less. Because I spend my money on experiences.
But don't blame poverty.
Also, yeah. That.
Like
also
that. And that's the thing with, like, the tickets. It's also like, they're like, oh, I ain't got money like that, but I'm watching you drop bands at the fucking club. Right. So seemingly you do have some type of money like that.
Right.
Yeah. You are not broke. You are irresponsible. There's a difference. Mm. Don't come to me when you are borrowing money because you are irresponsible. That's different than coming to me because you're broke.
Very different.
Saying, hey, I went and spent my money somewhere else that you didn't need to spend it, is very different than I don't have the money, period. You did have the money. Yeah. It just flew out of your hand and the weed jumped in the other hand.
Help.
Yeah.
Help.
And see, I will say, this is where, like, in my broke college days, I was good to go to the club with nothing in my pocket, because I knew
somebody was going to buy you a drink.
Somebody, okay? Like,
and did.
Listen, I'm so, and did. Mm-hmm. I would get, maybe, but the point is.
But the thing is that you're like, that, but that, but you, your currency was you, your currency was your attendance and your presence. So that's, that's fine, because you knew.
Yeah.
So,
This reminds me, did y'all see the TikTok story of this girl? It was a friend group, and they went to, maybe it was like Costa Rica or Mexico. I think it was maybe in Cancun. But they went to Cancun. It was supposed to be a girls trip. And this girl brought her man, whatever. That wasn't the issue. The issue was this one girl, they had gone to dinner someplace off the resort. And when it came time for the tab to come, she like was like, oh, well, I only have $126 for this whole trip. And it was like a 5 or 6 day trip out of the country.
$126?
Yes, and girl, she didn't let them know until they were all at the table that that's all she bought. So the girl had to cover, like, somebody else had to cover for her. And the girl made it, it started this whole debate on, like, Twitter, basically, because people were like, A, like, why would you go to, you know, a vacation out the country with only $126 and not tell anybody? But, like, also, on the flip side, like, the girl shouldn't have, like, made this TikTok blowing up this girl because she didn't have money, because the girl also could have just stayed at the resort and saved her money for transportation to and from the resort.
Right.
Yes. You shouldn't have gone to this restaurant. If you knew you only had $100-something. I'm not saying you shouldn't have gone on a vacation. I get it. We all need respite.
Yeah.
But you definitely shouldn't have gone to this restaurant. Or if you were going to go to the restaurant, you should have said up front, hey, I can put you 50. That's all I can do. I'm not going to really drink. I'm going to have a slice of cheesecake and a salad.
I feel like appropriately. Like, if, you know, like, hey, y'all, like, y'all going to this restaurant, I want to go, but I ain't going to hold you. I only have X amount of dollars. So if I go, like, I'm likely not going to be able to do too much. Or I ain't got to go at all.
It's given, stay home. But, she should have stayed home. And I get it. Like, you want to go with your friends, but also, like, you have to live within your means and know what you can and can't do. And friend, because I can imagine, now if this is an all-inclusive, like, resort, sure.
Which it was.
Okay.
They chose to do some things that were off the resort.
And then friend
You don't need to do nothing off the resort. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see you after, girl.
Just stay right there.
We'll see you when we get back.
And most resorts have good options. Dude, like, you can have you a good
the only
time.
Thing that you really can't do in a resort is, like, they don't have, like, a lot of... Most of the time, they don't usually have, like, club spaces. Like, they might have events that are happening, but it's not always, like, going to be... It's not like a club environment. But other than that, girl, you can drink your life away, eat your life away. You can go to... You know, like, you can just relax. There's plenty of stuff to... Yeah, that's crazy. Nah. Okay, I want to give one more it because this one is like actually, and it was kind of aligned to this a little bit, but smoking cigarettes is it's an ick for me. Like cigarettes specifically. Like I have friends who, you know, are into other things. But specifically cigarettes, just it don't work for me. I don't like it.
This is where I get toxic.
You like it?
No, only if you're European.
Really? So wait, hold on. Do they have to speak Spanish or like?
No, I said you my mouth was coughed. I'm going to have to cut the mic. No, I'm talking about like if you're French or like you live in the UK, like smoking is still very big over there. And it's just like, okay, I get it.
Why?
Now, y'all are...
But why? I wouldn't understand why. Is it because it's like...
Because like culturally, that's like a very... Like it's a... Paris smells like cigarettes, if we're being honest.
Bo, this is not okay. No. No.
I'm just saying, it's like, that's your culture. It's like, okay, that's, you know. But as an American, what are you over here smoking Marlboro? Like, what? Get it. Put it. Ew. You don't even look right.
That is.
You know, if it's,
that is so. And I will, now to your point, I will say that there is a difference in how people in, how Europeans smoke versus how, you know, how people do it here. So I do agree with you that there is a difference in how it looks in the aesthetic of it. However, for me, either way, it is still a no. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a chop either way for me. I think I could have friends though, so I don't know how much of an ick it is. Like, you can do it. I'm just not.
I don't know.
Most of my icks apply to both friends and partners.
Yeah.
But this one is like a little gray area ish because I have friends who smoke cigarettes, but I wouldn't date someone who's smoking cigarettes.
I've never been around.
Yeah. Right. I have friends that smoke cigarettes. And like, again, if that's what they do, that's what they do. But typically, I'm like, ooh, like, let me like remove myself. Like, if I'm in your space, let me remove myself because I don't enjoy that.
Yeah.
But if you're my partner, and I dated a guy before who smoked, and I told him very upfront because he was. Oh, he was fine. And I was like...
Was he European?
He was not. Although I have... You know, that I think about it, I did date a French guy who did smoke. And I was all right with it. I was a little all right.
I rest my case. Y'all trying to play in my face. Like, I didn't know what I was talking about. But I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Typically, nah, I'm not into it, specifically for a partner. And it's more about like the kiss and stuff. Like after, like I just, it is not for me. So fair.
Unless, well, see, damn, oh, now I gotta really think about this.
Gosh.
I also feel like, you ever be like, and this is because I'm missing Texas this week because of Beyonce, but like you used to go to like two-stepping at like the little country bars and you're just like drinking whiskey. And I think Beyonce has a lyric about it, about like there's something about like kissing somebody if they had a cigarette and you have whiskey on your breath. And it's just like you're in this small hole in the wall country two-stepping, your boots there. It smells like leather from your boots and just never. Okay.
It sounds like you maybe drunk and you just don't care at that point. That's what it's giving. That sounds disgusting. Whiskey, then leather and cigarettes. Yeah. It's a lot going on. Yeah. That sounds destructive. Oh,
it's perfect. No, it's so sexy.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God.
Let me get some fur.
So let's get toxic. Ooh. Do you all feel like you have a toxic behavior or something that maybe should be a red flag, but you're attracted to it? We'll start with you, Raymond.
I was hoping you could go to Randy first. Mm-hmm. You messy, 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 messy. You know what? One of my toxic things
Okay, and if my partner's listening, don't take this too far, because let me tell you, I'll rip it up real quick. So seriously, though, for real, like, my thing is, okay, it's weird, but I kind of like it. I do kind of like to be bossed around. It's weird to the point of, like, somebody tell me, like, get over here, like, stuff like that, it turn me on. It do turn me on, unless you start getting crazy. Like, you know.
Yeah, I think that's normal. It's like, what, kink? I would consider that, like, kink. Hey, yeah.
I put on my notes, I have controlling ? Dominant ? Assertive ?
I mean, because there's a difference between all those. There's a difference.
There is. There is.
And I like every single one.
Well,
I mean, it is something about, and I think, and I've had this conversation with partners before, I think because in most of the places in where I reside, as far as, like, in my life, I'm usually having to be in control or being in leadership or having to tell people what to do or how to do things. When I get to this house, I want you to say, sit your ass down. Tell me to sit down. I might not do it immediately because my pride won't let me, but I'm gonna do it, but, like, you know, but I like stuff. I love that, like, to an extent. Again, like, don't be, you know, just.
I think you would fall under the brat category.
Ooh, I'm not no. Okay, maybe I might be, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's okay. For me, it's not even that I'm gonna give in. It's just the fact that I want a challenge. Yeah, like, it's not even that I'm going to do whatever it is. That. I just want you to challenge me and be like, do this.
I mean, I get that, Randy. I do get that. Because it's like, make me. I want to see you make me. It's very that.
Rat behavior. Both of us, y'all just said, is classic brat behavior.
I mean, fine, I'll take that. But, you know, it's something about that that's kind of hot. Unless you start getting, like, crazy again. Once you start getting into the, you know, I'll be, you know, when you start getting into the other stuff, then I'm like, okay, like, you need to chill out, like, because it's not happening. But yeah,
like, don't call me bull.
Right.
You know what I mean? I gotta fight you.
All right, Bo, what's yours?
So, I'm trying to say this so I don't get canceled. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Okay, so in society, there are things that are obviously acceptable and not acceptable, crimes and whatnot. Mm-mm. But, like, if you live outside the law, I'm in.
What?
Depending on what you do. You know what I mean? Okay, so, like, for example, there's a very popular artist that I adore. He's a rapper. And he's not problematic in the sense that there are no, like, allegations from women or anything like that. But I was Googling him to, like, figure out if this was someone that I could, like, really, you know, latch on to. Because, you know, as a recovering Drake fan, I had to just let that go. But also, Drake is soft to me. Like, he ain't never had to move no weight. He wasn't pushing kilos. He wasn't on the street. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not really that interested. But this particular artist, something that came up was that he had stabbed somebody. And yes. And it was, you know, in some gang activity. And I was like, you know, I get it. Like, you have to do what you have to do. This was before you had, like, made it. And, like, what? I'm okay with you. If you had... I don't know. I just, it's like,
not a tragic backstory.
It is given.
It ain't even going to be a backstory. It could be recent. Like, it could be like, you got charges pending right now. Like, and I'm like, free my nigga Young Thug. Like, I do not care. Young Jeffrey with his long ass rap sheet. I'm like, let him out. My baby, he ain't do nothing. Like, come on. He ain't doing nobody.
Bo.
I don't know. It's just something about it. Like, the longer the rap sheet, I just like,
It's the bad boy thing. So it's like the into the bad boy thing. Oh my God. Yeah. Bo, that is not what I was expecting you to say.
I love it. I reach over here trying to compete my partner. I'm like, it's okay. We could really figure this out, how to run a whole empire. And they'd be like, no. I'm like, okay.
Bye.
I get it. Okay. We ain't got to move drugs. Okay. That's cool. That's fine. But, you know, we could, like, I have, like, even, I've had an intimate relationship with each one of my drug dealers from back home. Like, all of them. Just love them. And they treated me the best.
That's wild. That's wild. Okay, I was not expecting that.
Also, is it toxic or is it the system?
Bo, it's toxic. It's toxic. it's definitely toxic, sis.
Nice try, though.
Nice try. Really nice try.
Y'all know we love to see, you know, minority people locked up. No, Bo, catching charges.
No, Bo, it seems like you love to see them because if they don't got a rap, you don't want them. That's crazy.
No. If they, I'm kidding, listen, I got you. If they are getting away with it and there's no rap sheet, I'll be a trap queen in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm literally dead over here.
I'll be your shotgun rider to the day I die.
Okay. Randy, Randy, what is yours?
This is going to be bad too, so I probably should have gave Bo Lessi.
Oh, Lord.
So I am a person who I always say that I am a domestic. Like, I enjoy cooking and like cleaning and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I am like very attracted to men who cannot do those things well. Like, I like their personal hygiene to be on 10, but I love like the ramen community. Like
the ramen community.
The cheese puff, like the people who go to the store and have to pick up stuff in bags because they don't know how to do nothing. Oh, I love that. Cause I used to date this guy and he used to like cook ramen all the time. And I was like, damn, he can't do nothing. He can't prepare a meal. Like, oh, he gonna love this. So I spent the night at his house, right? And I fixed some homemade ramen and I put the little egg in it. And I had the little chopped up meat and some scallions on top. Like, it was just everything it needed to be. And he was like, oh my God, this is, he was just so impressed because he just wasn't accustomed to having anything. Oh, I love that.
Oh my God.
I love that. I love an easy win. And okay. Those men, it's an easy win every time.
And you tried to come for me for me dating my weed men, and you over here dating ramen people.
The ramen community.
The ramen community. I love them.
Oh. Where all they know how to do is boil and microwave.
I'm really over here.
And see, that would be an ick for me. I'd be like, what do you mean you can't cook some rice?
Love it. I'm like, hold on, babe. I'll be right back. I come out with a sirloin.
Medium
see,
rare.
And I understand. Oh. Yeah, I... Oh. Oh. Well...
Because they're so impressed so easily.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, gosh. I will say, I do understand because I feel like, okay, so when a man in particular, like if a man that I'm talking to or seeing or whatever can't like provide for himself or feed himself, I'd be like, ick. But if it's like a woman or like someone who is like non-binary or, you know, identifies as gender non-conforming, whatever, then I'm like, okay, now I can, like, do my thing and, like, flex. So I get it then. But if for some reason, when a man can't do the... I'd be like, man, you're fucking pathetic. Like, isms. I don't know. I just be it's so early. I'm like, how are you alive?
Isms. It's y'all...
Well, because I think because women are often, like, raised to be able to provide or take care of a family, even if we mm-hmm. have no desires of having a family or raising something up. So then it's like, it just is a reminder that like men didn't have to learn these things most men didn't have to learn these things when they were in their youth. So when a man can't do something, it's just like, you just slapped me in the face with the patriarch. Like, I don't like that. Like, now I feel like I gotta put on an apron and get in the kitchen.
You got a slave in the kitchen.
See, but that's the toxic part. That's the toxic part. It's like how they got there is toxic because the system allowed them to get this way by not preparing them for the world that we live in. But once they get there.
Yeah.
Because they're so appreciative. Like, I've dated many guys like this too, almost every single one. They are just so appreciative. They're like, oh my God, Randy, I remember when you used to cook. Even when I talk to my exes now, they're like, I remember back in the day when you made me this and this and this. And they're just still so appreciative. And I'm like, I just revel in that. It's toxic, but I'll accept it.
Wow. My friends.
I do understand it. I don't think, well, it is toxic. But again, like you said, the toxic goes back to how we got here.
Wow, my friends. Mm-hmm. Wow. I am... appalled.
Do y'all have another one? Ooh. Do you have another toxic one you would like to share?
The only thing I have a lot of... The only other... Mine is kind of... I think mine is... my other one is similar. Like, I have this thing I love. It's kind of similar to the bossing around, but I love a guy that can, like, check me. Like, like check me and like be like, nah, let me make you understand. I love that because I got a mouth and I know I do. So, and I like to debate. I like to debate. So if you can ever get me to be silent, you're a real one. And I don't know if that's toxic or not, because I just feel like, I don't know, I don't think that's toxic. But I don't really think I have, like, I don't know if I have a lot of toxic turn-ons. Because I don't.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Oh, I have another one, then. If y'all not gonna go.
No, I was gonna say, I think mine is like people who are like perceived as like not nice or mean. Like,
oh.
People who, yeah, like seemingly like if you go to like a party or something and they're not necessarily going out of their way, but like they're not talking, they're not really fucking with nobody. Because then it's like, you ain't fucking with nobody else in the world, but you fucking with me. And that's nice.
I think I'm like,
oh,
that.
But also, I like to think, like, if I meet them and they're, like, confrontational or, like, mean or something, yeah. Or, like, some of my favorite relationships have been with people that I didn't like at first. Yeah. Or, like, who didn't like each other. Right. And it's been, like, bitch, because it's, like, who gonna fold first? Because I'm a real nigga. So, make some shape.
Oh, my God.
I get that. I think I've had experience, but I don't think I've had that necessarily in like a relationship, but I've had that with friends where people who are like kind of like standoffish, because to me it goes back to the challenge thing where I'm like, no, you're going to be my friend. You're going to be my friend. You're going to speak to me. You're going to love me by the time that I walk out of here. So it's more of
Come on, Effie.
But yeah, I've never had that necessarily like in a relationship. Because to me, if you show that you're disinterested, let me tell you, I'm not going to be pressed. All right, we'll stay over there with your disinterested ass.
That's part of the game. I like the chase because I'm going to be disinterested too. Mm-mm. But I know that you actually are interested because I can catch you like I'm looking over here. So then it's going to be like, okay, let's see how we do this.
Mm-mm. See, I like the game, but at the same time, I feel like I also like an easy win. So my next toxic trait... My next toxic trait is people who are clingy, or they like put you on like a really, really, really high pedestal and it's like borderline obsession. Mm-mm. I love this. Wait, hold up. Don't shake your head.
This is your worst one. I need to hold you.
It is. I should. So I love people to be obsessed, and it's particularly in partnerships. Right. People who are obsessed with me, right. Like they check in all the time. And this is without me doing anything because I'm not clingy. My love language is not physical touch. I love people who are like that. And they just thrive on like a touch from me, a word from me, a text. Like they just want that so bad. And me giving them that is like the biggest win for them.
It's the life support.
Like that certified lover boy type. Love that. No. Love that for me.
Maybe not certified lover boy, but I do understand because certified lover boy is out here giving iced out ball sex to his friends right now. So
no,
maybe.
Oh, dude.
Maybe not certified lover boy, but I do. It's like I need the lovey dovey. I need you like in my. I just want some type of attention. Anything you'll give me will do.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm not like, given my own experiences, I'm not super affectionate. Mm. So I feel like people who appreciate. Like, or people whose main driving source is affection appreciate me more, like with me doing less.
Right.
Like, I can send a text message and it means so much to them because that's their thing. Yeah. Whereas, if I was with someone who demanded, like, their main thing was they needed the physical touch, they needed these different things, I wouldn't be able to actually sustain that.
That makes sense.
But, like, giving a little bit and breadcrumbing somebody, I'm perfect.
Breadcrumbing is wild.
It's
wild.
And we said we were gonna talk about toxic.
But you achieved different.
You did. You ate that one.
Literally ate it and left the crumbs.
And left the breadcrumbs for your lover.
It's given. You left crumbs this time, and it's okay to leave crumbs in this circumstance. Oh my gosh.
Child. I think I'm just so like I have such an aversion to it because I don't be having the capacity. I'd be like, no, like shit, like I'll talk to you and I'll talk, like I'm busy, I'm distracted, like I'm like please, like just
yeah,
I don't want you to want me so much.
Oh, love that.
Randy's like, no, I want you to only want me all the time, every Period. Day.
I want the type of person that when I die, they go visit my grave like twice a week.
No.
Like, refresh my fucking flowers.
And it's crazy you said, because like, I am very much someone who I'm like, I don't want someone to want me that much. But almost like my partner is very much like,
yeah,
Bo's biggest supporter, cheerleader, yes, like in love. Up, I'm talking background on phones. Is. Like, will absolutely, I mean, stands me down.
T-shirts.
And it's cute, you know, and sometimes they do have to tell me like, hey, you know, I want some affection. And I'd be like, okay, my bad. You know what? You're right. My bad. But like that.
See, it's cute.
It is cute. Yes. But like by nature, I'm stingy with my love.
Yeah.
And so.
Yes, it's me too.
Like, the dynamic becomes like my partner has to like remind me very mm-hmm. gently, hey.
Yeah.
I adore See, no, you.
I don't want to be reminded gently. I want to be reminded aggressively, dominantly, assertively. Mm-hmm. Yes. Listen, so I'm getting all of my needs met in this formula.
When Chan tries to like do it like directly or like aggressively, like how you just described, I'd be like, don't be greedy. And they get
Not
it. And they back off.
Don't be greedy.
What you're saying is breadcrumbs. So you saying breadcrumbs too. It's giving breadcrumbs.
It's not yeah. breadcrumbs. I give more than breadcrumbs. Bread oh, trust me. I give a lot more than breadcrumbs. You do not have to worry about Chan getting shown. Definitely not breadcrumbs. But you know.
This conversation, y'all, I
derailed.
Help me.
So I know I had so many more icks that I did not get through during this list. I literally
list them off real quick. You go ahead. Here.
Oh my god. Fire. Okay. Rude to service people, bonus points. Yes. If the person yes. that you're rude to is a black woman, yep. If we're at the a yep. cheap establishment or it's a job you've worked before. Yep. People who play the victim, liars who force you to lie along with them in order to cover their ass. People who use Snapchat as a main means of communication.
That's a red flag.
People who surround themselves or their immediate friend group is just a harem of people that they met on Grindr and have slept with. Desperate people.
Shit.
Desperate people, people who are like super fine, but they've developed no distinct personality.
Okay, yeah. Can I name a church ick?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Really going off the rails here.
Because it irks me, okay? I don't like when I'm in a church and somebody leads a song and you can tell they can't really like stay on key or match pitch. So they do a whole bunch of runs and the runs be dry as hell. Don't be no fucking anointing in there at all. They just be doing what the fuck they think they can do in the shower and listening to the Clark Sisters. And it don't be giving the Clark Sisters. It did not be giving Duranis. It be giving on his best day. I ain't gonna name that person because that would be really shady. And she's an amazing artist. But I hate it. Stop it. Sing it straight if you can't. And if you can't sing it straight, I don't need to hear you worship in this moment.
Girl, where did you go for Easter service, girl? Who made you upset at Easter?
I saw a live. Girl. Like someone, I decided to like tune in to like a live service.
Oh, girl, they made you
from
upset.
One of my friends that shared it from back home.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know that she'd be going to church like this. Let me like see what they church is like. Ooh. And that person got up there and they were really... I mean, and that was like every, like, I didn't even know what key we were supposed to be in. And I looked over and the person on the organ was like really struggling. And you know, like whenever the person on the organ like drops their head down and looks over their glasses, terrible sign. That should be your warning right there to stop. I hate it. I will leave. I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you got that off your chest on today. Let it go. Release
mm-hmm.
it.
I feel a little bit lighter, y'all.
Oh,
I do too.
My gosh. Can I just name some?
And one last one. I'm sorry. But people who use their fitness as an identity, like, that's annoying to me. I want you to be like silently ripped. Like, I don't want it to come up in discussions or stuff. I just want you to be abbed out and the girls have to ask. You constantly like throwing your fitness in my face.
That made me.
Yeah. Ooh. Or inviting me to do stuff like every time I talk
to you. Yeah, no. I don't want that.
Damn.
Don't be like, oh, you made mac and cheese for the third time this year. Damn. I don't want that.
All right, fine, y'all. Stop talking about me. Okay, I'm sorry that I keep talking about how ribs are.
Now, friend. On that note, thank you for listening to Black Inquiry. We hope that we did not step on your toes with our icks. In the meantime, go work on yourself. We're going to go work on ourselves and drink some water. We'll see you shortly. Well, we back. And this is a segment that is known as Word on the Curb.
Word on the Curb.
Word on the Curb.
Word on the Curb is the girls are putting our boots on. We're sliding into our Levi's. We got the boots with the spurs. We have our hats and our belt buckles because Cowboy Carter has arrived. We have officially entered into Act Two. And if you're not a Beyonce girlie, too bad, because we're about to get into it. Thoughts off the top, off the bat. What are we feeling? What are we? Because for me, I know I got my life. I know I got all of my life. And it made me so homesick. So homesick. The authenticity, the references. It's also, in my opinion, one of her most personal albums that she's done since Lemonade. And it's in all the details. Like, I'm not going to say too much. Randy, what are your thoughts? I'll get there.
Okay. So this album like actually meant a lot to me. So for backstory, I sing in a folk music band. And a lot of the music we do is like a mixture of country, gospel. Every now and again, there'll be some like jazz-esque numbers. And I just have never really felt like I fit into like a gospel space or certain other music spaces. So it's like nice to see Beyonce entering this space and giving attention to Black people who sing other alternative styles of music. And like, it just feels good because it's like, oh shit, it's cool now because Beyonce did it. It feels good and you feel seen because it's like, wow. And not only did she do it, but I feel like sometimes performing with the band that I perform with, I'm the only Black member. And I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, well, why is he performing in this? Mm-hmm. And like Beyonce not only coming to the stage, but bringing like the history of country music and like Black people's involvement with country music, I feel like helps to explain like not only why I sing this, but why it is like cultural for me to sing this. It's not inappropriate for me to be here.
Right.
So it honestly, and I love the album. No skips. I am obsessed.
Not a single skip. I have yet to skip. I mean, but I also don't skip Renaissance. So, well, that's not true. I used to skip Plastic Off the Sofa.
What?
And then randomly out nowhere, it was stuck in my head. And then I was like, damn, I love this song.
That was one of my favorite ones from Renaissance, actually.
It's one of mine now, too.
Yeah, so I listened. As I was coming back from my vacation, I listened to the entirety of the album in the car. Precursor that I am not really a country music like person, right? So I'm not as familiar with what country music sounds like today. All I know is what it sounded like when I was like younger, watching like westerns, right? My idea of what country music is, unless it is Rascal Flatts, What Hurts the Most, I really don't know what country music sounds like. And that's the truth. So I think listening to this album for me was interesting because one, I feel like I was like, okay, like, and actually, me and Bo had a conversation about this offline, and Bo gave me some context because listen, Bo was like, "Let me educate my good friend." So I think for me, my first reaction was, "Okay, like I don't feel like all of this is country music." That was the truth. I was just like, "I don't feel like it's all country music." But then I also said, "I don't know what country music today sounds like," so I don't have a point of reference to say like, "Well, is this country? Is this not country?" So my initial reaction was like, "Okay, it sounds to me like Beyonce is creating her form and her version of what country music sounds like. And that's how I kind of, that's how I had to like kind of listen to it versus having the preconceived notions of what country music is. So I think I had to kind of like step out of myself and be like, okay, like let me not go into thinking about it from the stereotypical standpoint, but exactly understand her whole point to me now listening to it and now thinking about it is that she wanted to change what people's perspective of it was, right? She wanted to be able to say it is not one particular way that it has to sound. And I think that's important because when I think about gospel music, right, there is a particular traditional way that people sing gospel music, but the way that gospel music sounds now, there's variations of what that sounds like. And I think that Beyonce was able to do that and also be able to highlight other people who have been doing this music. And I think that's what I appreciate the most is that she is
like
somebody
the Tanner
who,
Riddell's.
Yeah.
She's Britney like Spencer. That woman.
She has no problems. And in fact, she's somebody who advocates for bringing the other people and causing more visibility for them. And I appreciate that aspect probably the most. I'm not going to say this is like my favorite album and I'm going to listen to it on and on. And I will say like, even with the Renaissance, it took me a while to warm up, you know, in general. I appreciate that she's on a platform to where she's not trying to elevate herself. She's really trying to highlight and illuminate the other people who are already in the industry, which I think is what I find to be the most beautiful about it. I did tell Bo my favorite song was the one that I think River Dance. That one got me. Now that did get me. I was like, oh, this is nasty. Ooh.
Written by the fabulous Ray. We love Ray.
Yeah, so that one I definitely like really liked. But I think overall, like it's nice to hear her put her own spin and her own identity, and kind of reclaiming something that was kind of ours anyway.
Ain't no condo about it. It was.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? To be able to kind of reclaim that space, right? She's Maxine Waters, reclaiming our time, right? So it's very, like, very much that. And I think that that part is really beautiful. And I appreciate that aspect of the album.
And it's like, not only is she reclaiming it, but like, I think a lot of times when we think about making a positive change, we think about what the change can do for us. But it's like Beyonce is like breaking barriers in a space, and she is taking like young up and coming country artists. Right. She didn't find like, she didn't say, oh my God, let me go out and find like people who are in the same age or the same caliber or the same, this is me. No, every single, it's like six different people's first, like number one on the Billboards. First time charting on the Billboards, like with this. And they are all unknown black country artists. That is so crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's beautiful. I think her momentum and her purpose behind it, to me, speaks, for me at least, for the album, it speaks more volumes about the album than the actual content that's on the album for me. I really appreciate the things. And I think to your point, Bo, like there's a lot of references that she makes where I'm like, girl, I'm not from Texas. I don't know nothing about none of that. So some of that kind of like goes over my head, but I can appreciate that she's speaking to a people that knows exactly what she means when she says that. And I think that that's beautiful.
For me, it's the details. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, it's like I was saying earlier, it's all the details in the album, right? So like, even for example, take River Dance. There's a really infamous video of Dolly Parton and Patti LaBelle, and they end up they sing a song, but the only instruments that they're playing, like they're playing their nails, like they're hitting their nails together to make the beat. And like she was inspired by that and put that on the Riverdance song, and that constant beat in the background that you hear of like it's nails. Like if you listen, you'll like hear it now, but it's like her rubbing her nails together, or even like on Levi's. So I love Levi's because her mind, she's fantastic. And I saw like a tweet that was like, Beyonce is very much giving us Petty Virgo. Back when she was in Destiny's Child, you know, she's talked about a lot when it comes to her fashions and Miss Tina making a lot of her clothes. And I think a lot of people don't realize that Mama Tina had to make a lot of their clothes because a lot of the high-end fashion people were not willing to dress these three, you know, black girls with country bodies, meaning they're curvier. They, you know, weight is in different areas. And so they just wouldn't do it. But Levi's was like, oh, we'll do it here. And so like in a lot of their early Destiny's Child looks and throughout Beyonce's career, like when you see the denim, those were always Levi's because Levi's were willing to partner with them. So for Beyonce to then in turn be, you know, on this song talking about like how she doesn't need high-end fashion and she looks good with a t-shirt and Levi's. And like, I think Post Malone has like a very similar lyric, but it's all very pointed. And like, if you've been following for a long time, like you mm-hmm. see those details of like, oh my God, like this is such a full circle moment. Like right. now she is in like Devon, you know, she's in all the high-end brands, right? But now right. Levi's mm-hmm. what's on the album. Like just... Right. The details in that, and I love like the smoke hours, like those yeah. great Willie mm-hmm. Nelson, the legend that he, Dolly Parton.
Right.
When she's like, hey, honeybee, but I'm gonna tell you, I melted. And just like to have the co-sign of these like country legends that we know are legends to say, like, this is Beyonce, we are co-signing this. Like, even Willie Nelson says, you know, sometimes it takes someone that you trust to show you what you like. And that's why I'm here. And it's like, yes, or mm-hmm. like, it's so many moments of just pure, I just, to create such a detailed body of art. I mean, mm-hmm. busting out into an Italian opera in the middle of Daughter, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot, even down to like how this rollout happened, like the Chitlin' circuit. And I was like, the fact that I know most white people probably do not know what the fuck a Chitlin' circuit is and are probably very confused.
Mm-hmm.
But even that detail of like Southern history and how Southern folk artists were treated and how they couldn't perform in these spaces. And just to like integrate that into the rollout for this and into your merch and on your album, because it's like, once again, Beyonce is entering a space where it's not necessarily for her, or they try and gatekeep it. And so you backdoor your way in with a Chitlin' circuit like this album. It's just, it's.
And I will say another thing about this album that is like wild to me is that to me, the function of art is to like point a mirror at society and show us mm-hmm. how we have reacted to things. And I think this album does an excellent job of doing that. Beyonce using a soundbite from Linda Martell in this album mm-hmm. is iconic for so many different reasons. Because if you look at the critiques that Beyonce herself is getting right now, and Linda Martell is in her 80s.
Yeah.
Is in her 80s. And when she came into the industry years and long before we ever had a Beyonce, the critiques mm-hmm. were the same.
Right.
So it just goes to show like how much time-wise has not changed, because Beyonce as a Black woman receives the same critique that Linda Martell received in a whole yeah. different time from now.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. we still have not like made a lot of headway in this particular genre. And right. it's like, yeah. to me, the fact that she uses her to say genres, a funny thing, when we know that this genre is a stolen art form out of Black music that has been co-opted yeah. into whiteness and is now predominantly seen as a white industry of music is so crazy. Like yeah. to have Linda Martell herself, the first Black woman to enter into this space, like mm-hmm. say that is so like profound to me.
Yeah. I am forever in awe. And there is like, I'm not telling you like going into it, American Requiem and mm-hmm. the beautiful tie-in that it has to Amen. I was like, you want to talk about giving us a concept? You want to talk about giving us I love artists that continue to create like thesis. Like this is a whole thesis on genre, on country, on what is and what isn't considered to be good enough to be in a space. And then not only that, you have I told Raymond, this is why I told him offline that he was referencing. I was like, seemingly the album is broken up into like three parts, where we have like up until like the first smoke hour, you kind of have like country how it's been done, and then you get like into the middle part, and it's like country that is a bit more on the nose, for a lack of a better word, or it's like what's trending are like the instrumentals that you would hear now. And then you have after the second smoke hour, Willie Nelson, then you really get into what Beyonce offers as her thesis as a reply to genres and country music as a whole. It's just, it's brilliant. I'm like, this is, feels like I'm reading someone's thesis paper, like for a doctoral program. I'm like, you mastered this, bitch. Like, you did that. You did this.
And we we would be remiss if we went through this without talking about the rewrite of Jolene.
I knew from the beginning when she dropped the track list and I saw Jolene was on there. I told Chan, I was like, now I love Dolly P and I love Jolene. I said, but you cannot tell me that we're about to have Beyonce begging for anybody to do anything. I was like, Beyonce about to be like, fuck around and find out. And sure enough, what did mamas do?
Exactly.
Please. Please. And then her sick mind to go from Jolene into daughter. I said, are we sure Jolene made it? Like, can we get a APB for Jolene? Because I don't think mm-hmm. I don't think she with us no more after daughter. Mm-hmm.
But no, I just thought that was just like so good. And then the redoing of Blackbird, because the significance of Blackbird mm-hmm. is the original song is about mm-hmm. a Black woman, but it shifts the context when you make the singer of the song a group of Black women. The context changes completely, and it's just so brilliant. Go ahead.
And I was just going to go back to Blackbird. Because that song, you know, Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote it back in 68, and it was the height of the civil rights movement. And the song was inspired by the Little Rock Nine, the students who were enrolled at the Central High School in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And that happened. And from that, they were so moved to write this song about these students and this tragic story of Little Rock Nine. So then for her to use that and, like you said, have Black women's voices sing it makes mm-hmm. it just so more, it gave me chills. Like, I was like, I am so emotional. Like, why am I like having such an emotional response? And I was like, because bitch, you know the history of Blackbird and you know like the lives that were lost. Like, you know how this school, this is, mm-hmm. that they were treated, the way they were treated during the civil rights movement and desegregation, and then to have this album in country that is, yes, it is technically not segregated, but in mm-hmm. a way for a long time, for a lot of people, country has felt very whites only. Mm-hmm. So then mm-hmm. for her to have nothing but Black women on this, it just, it's a very emotional and moving piece. And I was like, Wow. And the thing is, like, I think when I saw the track list, I thought that. But then hearing it, I was like, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. That's probably the most perfect song on the album as far as, like, context and making it make sense. Like, that belongs mm-hmm. on that album.
And I am hoping that we get an extended version. I'm sure Mama has something in the canon for us. And I'm hoping that is one of the things.
She gave us I also want an extended version of Desert Eagle. Because why is that song like 1 minute and some change? What is happening? Give us the full. I know there is a full one that exists. You cannot tell. B, give us the full version of Desert Eagle.
She said wait for the tour.
Another thing I just love is that so often, so much of what we see Beyonce do as an artist is a response to things that she has experienced in moving through the industry. Like, I remember back in the day on Bootylicious, like, Bootylicious was like a response to people's critique of her body being too big. And then we have. And it's just so many different things. And it's like Beyonce is just constantly like taking in the information. And instead of responding on social media or like clapping back at people in tweets and everything else, she is mm-hmm. like putting it into the art and like making it, I don't know. It's almost like she highlights the problem and gave the people something they can use who are in her same position to like uplift themselves. Yep. And it's just so brilliant with this.
Speaking of Beyonce not responding, Randy, do you want to share your theory about spaghetti and that one lyric?
So Nicki Minaj has been sending like very subliminal shots that are seemingly aimed at Beyonce. Like she made a comment about a silver spoon and she was like, not all artists grew up with a silver spoon and this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah, I think her rap lyric was like, because she got called out about a rap lyric because she says like, I couldn't be no, they asked me why I'm not Beyonce, and it's because my mom and dad didn't own like a business or something. And then they called her out on it, and she like then tried to explain that it's because, you know, but the way she explained it was still shady. It was like, okay, girl.
But didn't she just post something with Beyonce sending her like a card saying like, congrats on your tour or something?
When the tour kicked off, she did get but also Beyonce does that for everyone. But because it's Nicki, why does she do a lot of the things that she does?
Period. We will never understand. It doesn't make sense.
You'll hurt yourself trying.
But but her little lyric, she says, cunty country, petty, 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 all the same to me, plain Jane spaghetti. Iconic.
Now, right.
Because why'd you repeat that like that? It's like a triple entendre.
I missed it. I mean, I heard the lyric, but I didn't think Nicki. And I was like, and then when Nandy explained it, I was
immediately,
like,
I was like, interesting. And then I started watching content online, and sure enough, somebody posted and they were like, now, did y'all catch this? I was like, yes, yes. Put it in the music, though. This is how I want everybody to respond to their problems.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That part, I definitely agree with, because I think she is, it's almost like she's saying, it's almost like she's not necessarily inviting people to talk about it, but she's basically putting in their face like, hey, like you're saying all this thing, all these things to talk about me, but I'm about to profit in multiple ways, right? Off of you wanting to like bring destruction towards me. Like all you're doing is helping to build momentum for the things that I'm going to do, which I love it. I mean, the best comeback is exactly how she's been doing it for years, is with her art, right? And being able to just be like, this is what it is. And people, it's such a different type of clapback, because anybody can get on Twitter and Instagram and, you know, blah, 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 I wish you, you know, but she is very, it's very calculated and it's very strategic. And I love that. Yeah. I love it. It's a boss move.
This whole album is a clapback, because if you recall, she wrote this because of her experience when she performed at the CMT Awards and she performed Daddy Lessons with the Chicks and how that went. And I'm like, if I were CMT Awards, the producer, whoever ran it, I would be shaking in my boots, because she is talking directly to you. When she said, can you hear me or do you fear me? I said, yeah, mama, they fear you. They fear you. Because you're a disruptor.
Yep. And I was on this like disruptor point. I was talking to a friend and they're not a Beyonce fan. And they were talking about Beyonce co-opting progressive or civil rights aesthetics. And I think this is like a big conversation that constantly comes up around Beyonce in particular. And to me,
unfairly,
I agree. But to me, I think we as a society need to like learn to accept the fact that some people, the way that they advocate is going to be through their art. Like God did not give everybody the ability to stand behind a podium and deliver a I have a dream speech. Some girls are going to, they're going to do the arts. They're like Basquiat is not a good public speaker. You would be hard pressed to find an interview where he did well. But his art, however, did a great job of reflecting the Black experience at large.
Yeah.
And that was the gift he was given. You know what I mean? Beyonce is not a public speaker. She's not going to go out here and be Angela Davis. She is Beyonce.
Yeah.
And the way that she is communing with the arts is through performance. That's what she does. Right. It's in the music. It's in the videos. It's in the choreography.
Yeah.
It's in the outfits, because that is her advocacy for a thing. That's what she can do.
Right.
And different people have different ones. And I think we need to maybe shift the way we view that. I think sometimes we expect everyone who is in a celebrity or a leadership position to be able to like perfectly elocute what they want to say.
Yeah.
Instead of all of these different art forms, God has given people so many different talents. And if people decide to express like the love that they get from God through food, through music, through dance, through writing, we need to accept all of the different forms that that has and not just one.
Right. Yeah. Also, we need to allow artists the space to change their mediums, because a lot of people, and I've seen people online that I know who are also artists, and I've had to be like, you fucking hypocrite. Because they'll be like, well, this isn't her genre. Like, this isn't what she does. She's an artist, period, full stop. Just because you're fave can't switch up her flow or switch up the genre or give you opera in the middle of a song or bust into different languages just because your fave can't do that or just because you are incapable of doing anything besides show tunes does not mean that every artist has to be tied down to a lane that they are stuck in that does not serve them. And the beauty in being able to switch up your medium is that you can do different things in different mediums that better serve what you're trying to do and the message you're trying to get across.
Let's get the fire extinguisher. Jeez, Bo, tell us how you feel.
Blaze the trail,
honey.
It's
just so ignorant. It's so, and I'm like, if we're supposed to be artists, like, you sound so fucking dumb.
And even beyond that, we are people, and it is in our nature to evolve and change, right? It is human nature. If we stayed in our infant stage for the entirety of our life, there would be no progression in anything. We would all still be babies. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how stupid it sounds to say, no, stay an infant for the rest of your life. What?
How? And some people have. Some people clearly have. They're comfortable there.
And if you are okay with being complacent, guess what? Have it. Over there.
Over there.
Ick. All over the there. Way over there.
That's an ick. Yes, ick.
It is an ick. It is. No, I think, and again, like, even with me, again, not obviously, like, country music's not my thing, right? I didn't grow up really listening to it. So I'm not going to say, like, this is my favorite album of Beyonce. I think I told y'all my favorite is B-Day and 4.
This is my new favorite. I do not care. This is my new favorite.
But you know what I'm saying? But I feel like even with it not being my favorite, I appreciate the artistry that went into it, right? Like, even if I don't love every song, I often say this, like, anybody who puts forth work and art, there is a admiration I have for them in general, because you have to be vulnerable. You have to be open to criticism. You have to be able to articulate your thoughts. And there's a lot of things that go into that. And I think that no matter what the response is, it took effort and it took energy. And I think that she has executed it in a way to where people are able to receive and also have accessibility to something that they didn't know that they, like, as you kind of mentioned in what I think one of the quotes, one of the parts of the album was saying, like, introducing you to something that you didn't know that you ever wanted or that you needed, right? And she's done that. And I think that that's what art should do. Art should allow you to expand your horizons. And if your art is not doing that, then I was about to say something real stupid. Maybe it's not an art. Maybe it's a fart. I don't know. But it's just...
You think of this shit? You're not even the fart. Okay. That's what Raymond said.
That's what I was trying to say, but, like, Bo said it better. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's... But you know what I'm saying? Like, better. Art should... Thank you. Oh, is that with it? Oh, so look
that's
at me.
Nice spice.
Y'all know. Yeah. Now, y'all know I didn't know. Y'all know I did not know.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. You thought I really ate that, huh?
No, I knew somebody else had said it. I just didn't know who it was. Because I don't know. Because y'all know Bo. Because y'all know Bo be rapping. Okay. Y'all know
the rapper.
Bo the rapper. Bo the baddie the rapper. Bo the baddie the rapper. The Oprah the Bopa. Like, you ready?
Please.
Like,
I mean, I do be rapping. I'm over here sweating because I'm like, damn. Okay, I got to memorize spaghetti. Oh, God. If I can memorize heated and ape shit, I can memorize spaghetti.
You got it. We believe in you. But I say all that to say, like, I think art should expose you and should elevate you in a way to where you have access, where you feel like your other things are accessible to you. Like, whenever you listen to a song and it doesn't make you feel motivated, or you listen to, or you see an art piece and it doesn't make you feel something different or causes you to have some type of emote, like, with it, then, you know, then maybe it's, I mean, it's art, but it's not, it doesn't mean it's good art.
But it should provoke. I definitely agree.
Absolutely. Should provoke conversation. And I think she's done that.
So I know that, Raymond, you may not necessarily have an answer to this. I cannot pick a favorite, like, one favorite from this album. So I'm challenging myself to choose six. So, Randy, do you...
choose six.
Because it's so hard. It's 27 tracks.
Do I have a top one or
I love that.
Six? You can do your top six. It doesn't have to be in any particular order because mine won't be because, I it's hard to even narrow mine down to six.
Yeah.
Okay. Yaya.
Obviously.
Two Hands to Heaven.
Yes.
Flamenco.
Mm-hmm.
Two Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm. You got two more.
Oh, my God. Daughter.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Not daughter.
Oh, we're shopping something out. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Protector. And then I think for the last one, I'm going to do Blackbird. Ooh, I'm hesitant because I didn't pick any of the singles. The girls are about to eat me up.
No, I know. This is a really hard, like, again, like, I've been struggling. Like, I was so freaked out when I first listened because I was like, how am I supposed to choose a favorite? How am I supposed to choose a favorite? I don't have one. Like, I listen to it straight through all the time.
I like a slow sing song. You know what I mean? I like a little slow song. And then I like a throw ass number. So it'll usually be one of those. I don't really go for the songs in the middle.
Now.
So,
okay. Okay. Two Hands to Heaven.
Yep.
Yaya.
Yep.
16 Carriages.
Okay.
River Dance.
I thought
Spaghetti.
About that.
Oh, God. This is where it gets real chaotic because I have one left.
You got it. We believe in you. It's okay. It's okay.
And this
can evolve. This can also evolve. This is just
the thing
first
is, I have
round.
Four that could also fit in here, so it's so hard to just choose six. But I think I'm gonna have to say Bodyguard.
Interesting.
Okay. The girls aren't talking about Bodyguard enough for me.
Particularly because
Bodyguard gives
bodyguard
me like Fleetwood Mac. It gives me like summertime. Like it gives me hair blowing in the wind. Like it just, it's so. It's so sexy summer.
I'm
excited for this summer. Y'all get ready because when we at the beach, I'm bringing a speaker and we will be playing Cowboy Carter. I do not care.
Yes, I'm ready.
I do not care. Raymond, bring some earplugs.
Long. No, it's okay. I am not adverse to listening to it. Believe me, because as many times as we listen to Renaissance over this,
I feel like that's all we listen to all summer.
Legit. So I am not adverse to listening to it. And by all means, if I am at the point where I'm like, girl, I can't hear another Texas Hold'em, my behind is going to walk to the beach. I'm going to walk to the water and I'm gonna go for a swim. And by the time I get back, we'll be at 16 carriages. So no worries. I don't know if that's the order. It might be.
I get you. I get it. That was so hard.
16 carriages is track three.
I love 16 carriages. Also, side note, if you ordered the box sets, if you haven't, they're still available, so you might want to wait and get it. But if you ordered the box sets from Beyonce, the bonus track is I guess you can call it a demo, but it don't really sound like that. But it is 16 carriages, but with it's all five members of like the original members of Destiny's Child singing it.
And oh, they did, that like, was the special song. Part. Oh, that's I saw somebody say something about that. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. I'm very excited.
It's just so iconic. A good album.
Thank you, Mother, for feeding us because we were kind of starved. I mean, Renaissance held me over. I ain't even gonna hold you. It held me over. It did what it needed to do. But mama,
right,
mama, you gave me all of my life. I'm trying to figure out if I'm a, I told y'all this offline, but I want to get a tattoo of a Texas outline on my ass. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do it here from which I'm in Texas this summer. But Beyonce, thank you so much for giving me a little slice of home to have in my heart up here in the cold, cold, windy city. That yes. I also love. My friends and family did have to talk me down from moving back to Texas because I was about to pack it up.
Girl. not the album done moved you to move. That's
because I was like, you know what? I could go back to Texas. I could just, you know, maybe. But that's okay. I'm going to stay here where it's a bit more safer for me. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that part.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Black Inquiry. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. If you want to see more content from us in general, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Black Inquiry. Raymond Wise, where can the good listeners find you at?
They can find me exactly at that, Raymond Wise, on Instagram.
Ooh, purr. Randy, where can the good folks find you?
You can find me at Randy Nigel. That's RandyNygel on Instagram.
And you can find Miss Country Bo over on all social media at Bo the Baddie. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Now you report to this line for Sydney.